This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you an exclusive interview with Dr. Arvind Virmani, member, Niti Aayog, on Union Budget 2025-26. The interviewer is Lalima Anija Dang.
Today, the Finance Minister, Ms. Nirmala Sitharaman, presented the 8th consecutive budget for the financial year 2025-26 and the first full-fledged budget of the third term of the NDA government. Well, the budget has something for everyone, from the farmers at the grassroots level, the SMEs, the MSMEs, the gig workers, students, women, senior citizens, the manufacturing community, urbanites, and more importantly, the great Indian middle class. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by Dr. Arvind Virmani, member Niti Aayog. Welcome, sir, to Akashvani. So now we have 7 slabs instead of the 6 earlier, and it's a renewed tax structure. No tax for individuals earning up to 4 lakh rupees. 5% for 4 to 8 lakh rupees, 10% tax for 8 to 12, and 15% tax for 12 to 16 lakh rupees. Does it mean that there is more money in the pocket of the middle class?
Definitely. But let me very briefly give you the background. Firstly, this is part of a thorough reform of the income tax code, which the finance minister said she will put before parliament in the next week, because the whole new income tax act, it will be a whole book in itself, which will not be attached to the budget. It will be presented in parliament next week. So that actually, from the economic perspective, is even more significant, but just that should be kept in mind. So within that, the way to, with as an economist, I think about the reductions in the slabs, etc., the rates, and actually the last time I was involved in tax reform in 1997, we proposed 3 tax brackets, 10, 20, 30. This kind of introduces 2 brackets in between, 15 and 25, so it's a more gradual rise. But the background in terms of inflation, so one of the arguments for reducing the rate was that inflation has, because of the pandemic, the international effects, oil prices, etc., inflation was very high, so the real income of the salaried workers, which is largely the middle class, has not kind of kept pace with that, and therefore that effective tax rate has gone up. So by reducing the rates and introducing these new slabs, they kind of return to closer to their old levels and perhaps get an extra boost. So that is the background. And basically, one more point is important. You mentioned the middle class. How do I think of it? The Prime Minister himself said before the budget, when we didn't know all these numbers, was that this is for the poor and middle class. And again, as an economist, I think, why did he say that? Because last year we had a consumer survey which showed that over the last 11 years before that, poverty, as we have conventionally measured it, and some World Bank, etc., called absolute poverty, has been virtually eliminated. It is less than 2%. In my view, it's virtually zero, but the numbers say 2% because they don't take account of what we call in-kind transfers. So, I mean, one way to look at it is that we are all middle class now. Of course, there will be pockets of poverty still there, but they are not amenable to general measures. You have to find the poor and do something, and that really only the states can do. The center cannot sit here and find, you know, in some area in the hills or some other pocket. So in some sense, we have to change our way of thinking, and part of that means we have to look much more carefully on the tax rate. And this also goes to what the effect will be. The effect will certainly be that to the extent that their consumption ability of this middle class had been eroded, it will be restored and the consumption can go back to the pre-pandemic levels. It has been recovering. It recovered last year. So I'm quite sure that this will help take it back to that level so that at least the consumption part of it will be normalized.
One of the major announcements has been that of the Prime Minister Dhan Dhanya Yojana for agriculture productivity. Many more announcements have been made. Could you tell us more about this?
You know, diversification is kind of, again, from an economist perspective, is a well-known issue in the following sense, that for many decades we have known, and we know this from all over the world as basic economics, that as average incomes of any country rise, their consumption of cereals starts going down, and the consumption of other goods like fruits, vegetables, meats, whatever, goes up, fish, etc. So this is something which we have all been thinking about, trying to see how to convince farmers, agriculture, their leaders, etc., to switch, because without demand, there's no incentive to produce. So this is, I think, another effort by the government to see how to both look for that pockets. So one of the things which is given is that 100 districts would be selected in a program for both agriculture and rural development. So go down there and improve their skills. Said they need new skills, whether it is to diversify or get into non-agricultural occupation, etc. So this is connected to this pocket way of looking at it, because general policies will not have the effect which we need to have. We have to find those. And so that is one important kind of approach which is being said. We go and select, you know, obviously with the help of states, because the states eventually have to be involved, because it's all on the ground. There's one can only incentivize and support from here. That is one aspect of it. The Atmanirbhar oil seeds and pulses, that is again a program, and it's a continuing effort has to be done, basically because of this kind of excessive concentration on rice, wheat, sugar, which again is, as I said, has been a concern for a long time. So shift to vegetables and fruits, again, we have been talking about it, but the idea is to how to get this moving. So another effort is being made, involve FPOs and so on. And then the issue of R&D and extension with respect to seeds, that is particularly important when we have all these events of climate change. So you need new resilient seeds, and you also need advice, because the small farmers have to be, one has to handhold, connect them to portals, etc., where they can get this information. And finally, the other interesting, of course, fish. Fishes and horticulture. So fisheries, there is this interesting idea of a SEZ for fisheries, which I find intriguing. I have not heard such a concept before, but it looks like a very interesting idea. I think Finance Minister mentioned particularly around our islands, like Andaman and Nicobar, etc., thinking of some kind of a special economic zone which may promote fisheries and to get them to change or incentivize them to change to produce crops where there's a demand either abroad, for example, like specialized rice, red rice, black rice, not the standard stuff which we keep producing, but organic rice or things like that which are in demand outside. And internally, the demand is in horticulture, fisheries, etc.
You talked about rice. Another thing which comes to my mind is makhana. India grows maximum makhana, especially Bihar. A lot of makhana is grown in Bihar. Maximum produce is there. We are planning to set up a mission there. We are also going to set up a mission on cotton productivity. How would that help, sir?
So again, this is in furtherance of the Honorable Prime Minister's one product, one district kind of approach. So the effort has been, many states are in the forefront now. He just gave the idea, and it really again depends on the states. But some states are already doing it. I visited Sikkim, and you know they are trying to do their own products, etc. So I think Bihar, like you said, makhana is special to Bihar, so maybe they will identify districts, etc., where this could be an important source of productivity and growth. Cotton, again, we know that we are one of the largest producers of cotton in the world. However, we still import extra long staple cotton from Egypt, for example, which is one of the producers. So the effort, again, is to identify a gap and see whether this can be changed, you know. But maybe on the ground, certain amount of R&D extension, etc., is needed for it to happen, which is still missing. So the idea is to fill the gap.
Let's talk about a very special category of workers, the gig workers, as we call them. And we have a huge population in our country because people move to the villages during the harvest season and come back to towns for more work. We see a reflection of the G20 summit decision where the gig workers needed to be recognized. And in this budget, they must be registered at the e-Shram portal. That is the proposal. How do you think that will impact the gig workers in our country?
One has to see this in combination with the startups in the service sector. Initially, of course, the service startups were big in US and other countries, but we are now developing our own completely new service. You know, we have some companies in the service startup space which are innovating new things. So the issue in this, and gig workers are connected to certain service startups. So the basic idea here is to balance, you know, to neither to over-regulate not to make sure that the workers have some basic level of social security. One doesn't want to impose kind of the heavy hand of regulation, which we know in many other sectors has kept us from developing labor intensive. So one doesn't want to do the same thing here by putting too heavy. So the idea is basically to make social security systems, which we are setting up for the informal sector and others, available to the gig workers also, so they have some minimum level of social security, so the growth of this economy can continue and generate more jobs.
Sir, when we talk of Jal Jeevan Mission, it has been extended by 4 years. There has also been talk of 36 life-saving drugs which have been exempted for basic custom duty. We see a synergy in ensuring a healthy India ahead, both ways, by providing clean drinking water and by steps like this. How do you view this and some other steps which have been taken in the budget to ensure a healthy India ahead?
What I call public health and public health education. Now, the simple definition of public health is water, sanitation and hygiene.
Yes.
WASH, which is called,
yes,
in popular parlance and international parlance. Our Prime Minister, when I was not in government at that time, but I was very, very impressed for the first time. I think this was in Independence Day, August 15, from the Red Fort. I still remember I was listening on TV when he talked about Swachh Bharat. It's amazing. Because cleanliness is not a good word, was not traditionally in India. So absolutely critical. My view is that we actually cannot have a Viksit Bharat without a Swachh Bharat. So Swachh Bharat, we had the construction of toilets. Then we moved on to the clean water, which, as you noted, the Jal Jeevan Mission has been extended. And I'm confident that we'll have, 99% coverage. There's always 0.5%, 1%, which, as I said, there are always pockets. India is a huge country. There may be pockets which are not fully covered, but having 100% is 99% in,
yes,
Health actually is under the states. All these things really come under the states. So all the center can do, and this is what the Prime Minister had tried to do so well, is to make it a national mission, which is why I was so amazed. This is not conventionally union government subject, but he still went on because he realized the importance of this.
You talked about Viksit Bharat. A Viksit Bharat is a new India which is also focusing on innovation. And students have also been taken care of in the budget. 50,000 new Atal Tinkering Labs would be there, especially in government schools. More seats in IIT and medical colleges. What else do you see in the budget for the students?
Another significant thing in the budget, and something again which I believe passionately in, is the whole question of basic education or quality of education, the job skilling and the innovation. So let me just mention reel off a couple of very important things which are there. You already mentioned ATL, the Atal Tinkering Labs, which have been very successful wherever they have already been implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a logical extension and a good one to move them into government schools. But I think one of the most important thing which is beginning to happen is that this, what was announced, the broadband connectivity with secondary schools and public health centers across the country. What I say is that we have 28 states, which is one more than the entire membership of the European Union. We have 1.4 billion people, which is equal to the entire Western democratic world. So it's a huge challenge to take education and health down to rural areas and to everyone. So this is the beginning of a revolution in my view. I think it is what I call e-education, e-learning, e-skilling, e-health. It can completely transform the quality of education and health in the rural areas. Just briefly, the other items was the National Center for Skilling, Center for Excellence in AI. For the first time, there were already three things in it, health, etc. Now education has been added. So this whole issue of thinking innovatively. Of course, government's NEP has introduced the FLN, the Functional and Numerical Literacy, which is succeeding. And this is one of the signals from the budget that the government is fully cognizant of this issue and is trying to do what it can. But always remember, the real hard work has to be done at the state level. Education is on the concurrent list, but the government basically does higher education and the policy. All the schooling, etc., has to be down there in the states. So it's a cooperative effort. The union government has to kind of motivate, incentivize the states, but they have to act.
Thank you, Dr. Vilmani, for talking to Akashvani and giving us an insight into the budget. Thank you very much.
You are listening to an exclusive interview with Dr. Arvind Vilmani, member, Niti Aayog, on Union Budget 2025-26. The interviewer was Lalima Aneja Dang. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.